Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
It's the Score North Twin Show.
And today's episode of the Score North Twin Show, as they look to claw their way back to 500 at some point, maybe on this homestand or maybe never, presented in part by our friends at Red Cow, gentlemen. Red Cow. In fact, we're going to be at Red Cow in Uptown later on this Thursday for a top secret Purple Daily project we're looking forward to.
This is such a great ad. And by ad, I don't just mean the ad itself. I mean the addition of Red Cow.
Oh, we all love pumped it to have them on board. Yeah.
Engage there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Six locations, 5 in the Twin Cities, 1 in Rochester. Salivating food. The award-winning double barrel burger, the dry rub barbecue, Japanese sticky and or buffalo flavored wings, cheese curds, chips and dip. Which you think? Chips and dip? No, dude.
Chips and dip.
Phenomenal. 36 beers on tap, craft cocktails, and belly up at Red Cow, where there is a line of TVs at the bar for the best sports viewing. So check them out. Red Cow, established 2013. The three of us frequent the Red Cow locations. 5 in the Twin Cities, 1 in Rochester.
I think we all can agree, perfect date night.
That's a great date night.
Perfect date night because it's relaxed.
Not even date night. Perfect day date. Perfect.
Yeah.
Bouncing around.
If you're in
Twins
trouble.
Game down the street, North Loop, Red Cow, let's go.
If you're in trouble and the gal's like, you watch too many sports, I'm really tired of this. You're like, Red Cow. And then you make sure that you sit her with her back to the TVs so you can keep an eye on the TV while getting yourself back in her good graces.
Yeah. I've done brunch, lunch, dinner, last call. If there's a time to eat or drink, I have done it at a Red Cow Red Rabbit.
It's happened. The TV right over his wife's head. Uh-huh. Oh, yes, honey. That's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you never do that. You're just like, yeah. Work. Oh, yeah, no, you're doing a great job.
So here's the question. We'll get to a random twin of the week here. The Twins are 6-11. They need to win, let's see here. If let's say 90 wins gets you in, and it might in this division, it might still be less than that. But let's just say 90 wins gets you in. They got to go 84-61 the rest of the way to get to 90 wins. It's a great season to thrust Declan into the beat podcaster role, by the way. Here we go. We're going to piggyback off the best season in 20 years. Fart noise.
Yep.
Is the season over? April 18th, 2024. Is the season over?
No.
Okay.
It's not over. It is a fart noise. It has been extremely disappointing. Season is not over. Here's where I'm circling. So 13 games are upcoming here against the Tigers, the Whiteys, and the Angels. Whiteys, horrible. Angels, organizationally, not very good. Tigers on the up and up, but we'll certainly see. At a minimum, you need to go 9-4. Over the next 13 games.
And 7 are against those White Sox.
Yep.
Of the 13.
Which helps. So 9-4 gets you right back to 500 at 15-15. I think anything less of that is going to be more of a horrible, more difficult climb to get back to relevancy. You have a great opportunity here against some softies to try to at least get right because these teams are bad. You played the Orioles and the Dodgers already. And those two teams, clearly, going into the season, were top 5, perennial teams in baseball. And the Twins are not in the same class as those teams. That's what we mostly have learned, in my opinion, the first few weeks of the season. Yes, the Twins stink. They don't look good. But they are not in the same class as Baltimore, as the Dodgers, as the elite teams in the MLB. There's a huge gap there. You got your butts kicked for the majority in those six games against those two teams specifically. So if you go 9-4 against the Tigers, the White Sox, and Angels, you're back to 500. And I believe the words they used last year, 2 years ago, season starts today. That's what you put by May 1st. Season starts today because you're 15-15 and everything will be all right.
Hey,
there you go.
I'm sold. I'm sold.
We're going to score. We're going to score once in a while. So I don't think the season's done, but I got a very important question. What American League Central are we dealing with this year? Because if it's going to, and I think it's improved. Now, that's damning with faint praise because it was absolutely awful last year. But if you got teams, you know, KC's off to a really nice start. The Tigers off to a pretty good start, right? If those teams are going to regress, which, by the way, is very possible.
I think they are, yeah.
Then you've got if Declan said you can put together some wins against competition, I'm not going to say the Twins are far superior, but certainly have a chance against, you can come back. The other thing that I think is incredibly important here too is, and it's partially just based on timetable, when is Correa, and probably the most importantly, when is Royce Lewis back? Because if you guys recall, and now the Central was terrible, but if you guys recall, we were all, rightfully so, very down on this team in June of last year. Like, this team was, now they were scuffling around first place or in first place a lot because of the division's issues. But that being said, this team was having trouble scoring runs. Mm-hmm. This team was struggling. And Royce Lewis's eventual insertion into the lineup, and then eventually when he could play consistently, completely changed all of our views. So if they were in a tough division, I'd say they're probably screwed. The fact that they're not, the fact that, you know, Declan articulated the schedule, and the fact that they are without, I think their most dynamic player is Royce. Depending on when he comes back, if they can just, as we talked about this week, you guys, tread water, which they are not doing a great job of, but Baltimore's really good. Can you put yourself in position so when Royce comes back, you're going to get that surge because he brings so much, not just as a player, but as a presence.
But treading water at this point is over with. Like, they have to swim up. Like, treading water would have been playing 500 ball till now. Now you are not treading water. You are in the
right. Can you get
you
around?
In the deep end of the pool, and there is no going back. So now you're above. You have to go above that point, and that's where, I mean, look, the hitting is awful. They're hitting 193 through the first 17 games. That is dead last in baseball. Only the White Sox are 29th, so that's a good sign. You get to play them for seven times. And the Twins have given me nothing to suggest that they can play the 9-4 stretch over the next 13 games, but that's the goal. You have to go 9-4 over these next 13 games to basically save your season.
Yeah, so I'm on board with the 9-4 plan here. I think splitting your season into chunks, and here's how the 9-4 should play out. So Declan's got me hooked. And by the way, my answer before Declan's 9-4 plan was the season is not over, and I was mostly looking at the upcoming White Sox games. And so if you look at the 13 games, it's the next homestand and then the next road trip that ends with Chicago. Can you go 5-2 against the hapless White Sox? I mean, 6-1 would be great. Sweeping them would be even better. If you sweep the White Sox, you're back, right? But realistically, it's baseball and games can be coin flippy. So can you go 5-2 against the White Sox, take 3 out of 4 at home, and then take 2 out of 3 in Chicago, where, by the way, did you guys see that video clip, the pictures of,
there's no one,
is
there.
It guaranteed rate, or what are they calling it now, guaranteed rate field?
Guaranteed rate field.
Maybe 1,000 people at,
you know,
start,
like on like the schedule side of ESPN. Like, it'll say, like, hey, you're playing this team at this time, and here's also a link for tickets at Guaranteed Rate Field right now for that upcoming series. Not the one that's here at Target Field, but the one that they'll play in Chicago. The tickets are $2. It's $2 to go watch. That you can go watch Benilde St. Margaret's here, and you'd have to pay, $8-9 to get into to watch a Minnetonka Benilde game.
Reinsdorf has so thoroughly screwed the pooch there. Like, he's threatening the fans, and they're fielding a team that's absolutely been a complete bust.
They drew for a doubleheader yesterday. combined for both games. Yeah.
Yep.
They drew a paid announced attendance of 10,412, which is drastically inflated from how many people were actually in that ballpark.
Sure.
They've won one game since April 2nd. They beat the Braves on April 2nd. They've won actually two. They won their second game yesterday since April 2nd. So can you go 5-2 against those White Sox?
Mm-hmm.
And then can you take 2 of 3 from each of the other opponents? Can you take 2 of 3 from the Tigers this weekend and then 2 of 3 from the Angels on the road next weekend? Like that, when you break it down that way, the season's not over. But if you get through this stretch where you're playing the White Sox 7 times in the next 2 weeks and you're still like 5 games under 500 and you're getting swept by the Angels or something on the hitting. So Declan brought up the batting average. It doesn't just stop there. So the Twins are last in the major leagues in batting average, 193. They are 27th in on-base percentage, 27th in slugging, 28th in runs scored per game, 29th in strikeout rate, meaning they have the second highest strikeout rate, despite getting rid of Joey Gallo and Michael A. Taylor, who were two of the top strikeout hitters in baseball. I think that's going to regress to some extent. They're 26th in home run rate, 23rd in hard hit rate, which is, if you're wondering, like, how unlucky is this? Well, it's a little unlucky, but they're not exactly scorching the ball all over the place. And they are 30th, dead last, in OPS with runners in scoring position. So when they do get runners in scoring position, they're just doing nothing with them. And that led me to a Twitter search for the name David Popkins. Because you know what happens when offenses in baseball struggle, right? It's, yeah, you could like send a guy down here and there. And the Twins certainly have major injury issues. But people love to turn their attention to the hitting coach. And Trevor Plouffe came on 2 weeks ago for Tuesdays with Trevor and said, no disrespect, but like half the time, I don't even know what hitting coaches did on the teams I was on. So I think sometimes we're quick to be like, fire the hitting. It's like an offensive coordinator in football. You just fire the offensive coordinator like the Bills did, bring a new guy in. But it's, man, the vitriol on Twins Twitter right now, fire Popkins, terrible hitting coach, David Popkins. You'll apologize to team president David Popkins for blah, 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 blah. It's, I think when you start to look at, like, I'm not a big fire the hitting coach guy, but I remember 2 and 3 years ago when they made the hire back in like 2021, it felt like a weird hire because he had no track record as a major league player and he had no track record as a hitting coach above the double A level in the Dodger system. And he was like 31 years old or 32 when they hired him. So on one hand, I don't think firing a hitting coach makes you a top five offense.
Yep.
But if you're looking for solutions, is he a solution? Like it's always been kind of a weird hire. And now they're sitting here and they're batting 193 a month into the season. You know,
we went through this last year too. And in fact, there was, I think Popkins mania consumed the spring last year. Again, you got to keep in mind, Royce Lewis changed everything. Like his emergence changed the whole thing.
And Kepler flipped the switch too.
Here's why I don't think the Twins fire coaches. It's the same reason why Rocco's not in trouble. I think they hire people who do what they want them to do. So like, I don't think that they hired Popkins and said, let's turn him loose. I think that they looked at him and said, you're doing exactly what we want our guys to do. You're teaching, you're using data. And so just like with Pete Mackey, right? Pete Mackey's not like this rogue pitching coach. Like he didn't, it's not like, you know, the good old days when Warren Spahn came in, Big Chaw, and said, here's how I used to do it, boys, do it this way. He's literally doing what they want. So, like, I think that's why, and Baldelli is doing what they want. So that's why I think that there is, it's not like, in my opinion, it's not like there's a disconnect where Falvey's like, you've gone rogue, and you're teaching them the wrong thing. I think David Popkins is executing exactly what they want. Now, the question is, why is it not working beyond guys being hurt? And is it a solution where he is now, where they say, you know what, this is what we thought, we were wrong, we're going to change our approach? I think it would be an organizational change that would cause a person to be fired, as opposed to this guy hit 315 in 1983 and now he's failing us, so he's gone. I think that's where we're in a very different era here because I think that there is a from top to bottom a process here that the Twins were looking for, and Popkins, for better or for worse, brought that process.
This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
And even though the Twins don't like to fire people, in fact, they even when they let go of people, just kind of reassign people, there has to be a fall guy if this continues. And it's not going to be Rocco Baldelli. They're not going to fire Rocco Baldelli first. They will fire David Popkins first. If this hitting is 193, if this is a sub-Mendoza line hitting, they will fire David Popkins. If yeah. If this stretch continues into May, the fall guy is him. Because they have to. Heads are going to have to start rolling there. They're not going to fire Rocco. And in fact, I think we've seen much more of manager human side Rocco than just being the puppet master behind for Falvey and Levine to tell him what to do. You saw that yesterday with pulling Pablo. That didn't come from upstairs. That came from Rocco. Rocco decided there's 9 outs left. And even though my starter is shoving, I like my chances to win this game. That backfired because that's baseball. And that's also going to happen to a degree. But I don't think they're going to. I know what you're saying, Judd, but I think if there's a fall guy, it will be David Popkins.
Yeah, if they're hitting like 205, and we can talk about, I know batting average is not the be all end all. We could cite any of these other metrics, OPS, WOBA. Like you want to, they're all terrible for this offense. And you can sit here for now, and you can kind of blame injuries. Obviously, Royce Lewis and Carlos Correa drag down the level of your offense when those guys aren't playing. So there is some of that, but. The rest of the guys, like, is the rest of the collective one of the three worst offenses in baseball? And I think on the hitting coach front, talent of players is going to supersede anything that a hitting coach is going to do. But a hitting coach's job is to come in, sort of supplement, help prepare for the upcoming series, pitcher tendencies, and just sort of help the lineup operate at the highest level possible with information, dissemination of information, right? Maybe there's some mechanical things like you're there to help support. And I just keep going back to his resume compared to some of the other hitting coaches in baseball. And there's a lot of guys that didn't have like great major league success. So I'm not saying you have to be, you know, right. Ted Williams was a bad manager because he didn't know how to teach how to hit 400 to non-elite players. But like, Popkins was a 32-year-old guy when the Twins hired him. He's like 34 years old right now. He did not have a noteworthy pro career. He was undrafted out of college, played 3 years in the Cardinal system, topped out at AA. You know, just that was kind of the end of his pro career. Then he played independent league ball for 3 years.
Yep.
Dodgers bring him on board to be their rookie league hitting coach. So that goes rookie league up to low A, high A. He came in as did like 1 or 2 years as their rookie league hitting coach. Then he graduated to the Dodgers high A squad as their hitting coach. Mm-hmm. And the Twins looked and said, yep, that resume right there, a guy that wasn't drafted, didn't have any meaningful, like never made it close to the major leagues. And it has like 2 or 3 years of experience as a rookie league and a high A hitting coach. And he's 32 years old. He is a major league hitting coach resume and they bring him in. And then you look across the league, it's like, okay, the Braves have one of the top 2 or 3 offenses in baseball because of talent, first and foremost. But their hitting coach who's helping supplement, who's helping with just making sure that these guys feel prepared and can be confident and play at their highest level is Kevin Seitzer, who had a good major league career as a major league baseball player. The Astros, Alex Cintron, who people recognize as a guy that played in the major leagues, right? He's their hitting coach. The Rangers have Tim Hyers, who you might not know, but like he played a handful of years in the major leagues. Like he was a major league ball player and has 20 years more experience than David Popkins. So I don't know. It's like it was kind of a weird, risky hire to begin with. And now that nobody is performing other than like Alex Kirilloff up to their level, don't you look at there someone else that could put an eye on this thing and help prepare these guys?
By the way, to be clear, a year ago at this, when they struggled, I was calling for Popkin's job. I am all for, hey, mix it up, fire him. I don't give a damn. But to Declan's point, what's changed my opinion, and this is my opinion, this is not what I would do. What's changed my opinion is when these guys bring in people to, especially like position coaches, hitting coaches and stuff, they don't usually turn on them fast. Like, there was an easy case to fire Popkins last year. There was actually a case at one point to fire Baldelli to mix things up. They don't do that. If you look at the training staff's different, but if you look at their coaching staff, they ordinarily fire people they didn't hire. Molitor got fired. They blew people out. But I mean, Wes Johnson quit. Pete Mackey was his assistant, and we're all like, well, they'll go get a real pitching coach. They didn't. They stuck with Pete. And I mean, the pitching, for some obvious reasons, was pretty good last year. But I've changed my thinking as far as their operation because, yes, I would look at this and say, okay, this is an unmitigated disaster. Again, last year, a lot of it was sort of the same, not this bad, but it was bad. And they didn't fire him because they clearly, when they went through the process with a guy like Popkins, he's clearly agreeing with what they believe. And Phil, I think we've talked about this enough to realize at the end of the day, it appears that what Derek Falvey believes is so important to him that he doesn't move off of it quickly. And so unless they say, I think the firing of Popkins would be them saying, you know what, our philosophy that he's teaching was wrong. We need a new voice and a new philosophy, much more so than David Popkins is not doing the job.
I think my last thought on this for now is, and I don't know the answer. Maybe Dex can sniff it out because he's around the clubhouse way more than we are. But if players are struggling, and if credible players are struggling, if you've got guys who've been in the major leagues, who've been around, even like an Alex Kirilloff, who's performing really well, like that guy's been in the big leagues for like 4 years. I mean, credible Major League Baseball players who are adults, in some cases who are in their late 20s, early 30s, right? If those guys need a boost, if those guys are just kind of in a funk, they just need a little, a Carlos Santana, who's 37 years old, for instance, right? If Kevin Seitzer walks into a room, 62-year-old Kevin Seitzer, who's very still plugged into modern baseball because he's a current major league hitting coach for the Atlanta Braves.
62 now. My God, am I old? Yeah.
He walks into a room and says, guys, I've been in the major leagues as a player and as a coach for 3 or 4 decades. Here's what I'm thinking is wrong with your mechanics, your approach, your swing.
I agree.
It is loaded with credibility, right?
Yes.
Does that same credibility and connection exist when David Popkins is tabbed as the problem solver for a struggling lineup, for a struggling veteran hitter?
I agree completely.
I don't know the answer, but I have questions.
I get where you're going.
I mean, one of their best hitters right now is Austin Martin. He's taking their best at-bats, and he's been in the major leagues for 2 weeks. Is that a product of him working with Popkins? Is that Austin Martin just having a great eye at the plate like we've seen from his entire minor league career? You know, there's... To Plouffe's point too, what would you say you do here? You know, so that is an interesting thing to try to potentially figure out. But it's going to be like guys like Martin. If Trevor Larnach is going to take this opportunity, we'll certainly see. But they're rewarding the best possible outcomes. Carlos Santana was benched the last two games. It's not because he can't play.
The other thing is, like, he could also just be hitting the age cliff, and we're blaming a hitting coach over here, but he's just old. Like, I don't know.
He stinks.
Austin Martin, though, is a perfect – so he's the poster child for my point. Don't forget, because we talked to Dukes about this for like a year and a half straight. Austin Martin was struggling. He was not hitting, and he was disappointing. And what Dukes said is, well, they're trying to get more power from him. They believe that they believe his approach is flawed. And it's like, but his approach worked for him. And the Twins said, yeah, that's fine, but we want more power. We want X, Y, Z, right? And and according to Dukes, they finally just backed off and said, okay, we're not going to get what we want, so you just be you. Mm-hmm. And that's Austin Martin now.
Yeah, and it is fair to look at Austin Martin and say, yeah, it'd be nice for you to have a slugging percentage that's, you know, greater than a wet rolled up newspaper could provide. And if you're going to be a long-term major league player, you probably have to hit a couple home runs once in a while or hit a ball over the left fielder's head or whatever, but at the expense of him being a great contact hitter by great contact hitter, I just mean a guy that doesn't strike out really at any level. So it's, I don't know. I think you need more information behind the scenes. Listen, if like Royce Lewis, Carlos Correa, Byron Buxton, and Carlos Santana were to come out and say, whoa, 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 whoa. No, the popper is a secret weapon. You guys, it's all on us. You know, I'm just, are they getting the necessary credible help that they need from a major league hitting coach is my question.
Are they calling him the popper?
Hey.
The popper. The
popper!
So let's do a random twin of the week here, presented by our friends over at Dennis Kirk. Back on board for another twin season here on Score North. Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com, where you can check out for riding season, 185,000 parts, apparel, accessories, motorcycles, ATVs, UTVs, dirt bikes, all the top brands, and same-day shipping on all orders placed before 8 p.m. Central Time, and free shipping on orders over $89, plus financing options available as low as 0%. So great ways to save at Dennis Kirk. Closeouts, open box items, all sorts of reasons for you to check out during riding season. Dennis Kirk and DennisKirk.com. Also, our friends at Nicolay Law are helping to power the Score North Twin Show. Quick shout out to them, the exclusive personal injury law firm of the Score North Twin Show. And Nicolay Law knows that when you get into an accident, something unexpected occurs. Life can be thrown out of whack. It can be stressful. The insurance companies could come and not really care about what's happening in your life. But Nicolay Law does care. And that's why they are Minnesota's local award-winning injury lawyers. You can contact them at NicolayLaw.com or give them a call at 1-855-NICOLAY. It is time for a random twin of the week. Losers out, which means Judd, who lost last week, has the clues for me versus Declan. We've done 36 random twins of the week. Dex and I are tied at 13 wins apiece. Judd has 10. The last handful of random twins are Craig Monroe, Ryan Domit, Brett Boone, Trevor Plouffe, and Kevin Tappany. So Judd will throw out some clues. Dex and I get up to 3 incorrect answers each. If one of us hits a third strike, the other one wins automatically. No Googling.
Here we go.
All right.
Here we go.
This random twin of the week hit only one home run in his career in 8 big league seasons. He not only played college baseball, not surprisingly, but also was a running back in college while attending San Diego State. Aztecs, right?
Yeah, Kevin O'Connell.
Marshall Faulk, right?
Sure.
1994, Marshall Faulk.
College running back?
He played some running back in college, yeah.
Was he teammates with Kevin O'Connell?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
That limits. Okay.
So he was drafted by the Angels. He was drafted by the Rangers. And he was drafted by the Mets. There's a common thread here. Didn't sign with any of the three.
Oh.
So he was drafted 3 times. And that's going to lead into the next clue. Because he was finally drafted 12th overall and did sign with that team, which plays in a foreign country, plays in another country. And this was in 1981.
Oh, so man. So
there's your first bit of context. But I assure you, this is not a random twin who you will say, Steve Lombardozzi, who's he? No.
This limits me.
It does, but it shouldn't.
That's a clue.
Yep. All right, next clue. This former twin actually had a radio show in the Twin Cities in the late aughts. Hung around?
What is late aughts?
2000 to 2009.
Oh.
The aughts. 2000, the first decade is an aught. It's the odds.
Thank you for asking that because I also had no idea.
I always used to think it was funny
in the Twin Cities.
Yeah, in the Twin Cities. That's right. He had a radio show, not on this station, and it wasn't. And just to be clear here, I'm not saying like it was a drive time 5 day a week show. He had a radio show that was on, but I think it was probably once a week. But he was on the air.
would I have worked with him? No, or could have been the WCCO.
Okay. All right. His major league debut came in 1985 as a pinch runner inserted into a game, and he scored a run. Are you going to guess, or do you?
No, but I'm putting together a couple different clues you had.
Okay.
I had a guess, but now I don't want to burn a guess. I don't think this, and I don't think the guy that I was going to guess had a radio show in the Twin Cities in the late 2000s. That's an interesting clue.
I thought so.
This guy a World Series winner?
Actually, two-time.
So, okay. Yeah. So.
All right, next clue. This former Twin was a switch hitter who ended his career with this slash line. 226, 304, 266.
Jesus.
No, it wasn't because I assure you, if Jesus played, he would not have that slash line.
That wasn't a guess. I had one home run. I mean, he's slugging percentages.
Is there a pitcher who's a switch hitter, maybe? Like,
I mean, 220, that's a good, if 226 is a good average for a pitcher.
Yeah. Okay, he spent 2 years in the National League and 6 years of his career in the American League.
Is it Lenny Webster?
Oh, I love Lenny Webster, but it wasn't, no. I love Lenny Webster!
Could have been a running back, I don't know.
Oh, he could have been, yeah. Yeah. He
little
could
bowling
have been. Catcher.
Ball running back, yeah.
Little catcher, yep. All right. This should start to help to clarify the identity. Following his playing career, he joined the Twins coaching staff, which is where we get
Scotty
in.
Alger.
That is a nice guess, but it's incorrect. No. But this is definitely so. I'm putting him in both of your primes of now Twins watching, or at least the start of Declan's prime of Twins watching.
I mean, Al Newman?
Oh, dang it.
Yes!
Dang it. God bless him.
Couple things on that. One, did not know he had a radio show.
WWTC, The Patriot.
Oh, my gosh.
The Patriot.
It's on his Wikipedia page.
Wow. Also, wow, one home run for Al Newman in his major league career.
Al Newman! There's a story about this. He hit his home run, I think it was 86-ish, in Atlanta as a member of the Expos. On that same day, if I'm not mistaken, Bob Horner, Braves third baseman slugger, hit four home runs in that game.
That's wild.
It's one of the great Al's one home run.
Two of the most crazy statistical anomalies in one game, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Exactly right.
So there it is. Wow.
Saint Cloud rocks. God dang it.
Yep.
Three straight wins for old Macadack here.
Old Macadack is. And I feel like you were just like through sort of what KOC calls a hope pass there.
Well, I was
like, is it Al Newman?
I had no idea that he was drafted by the Expos or the Blue Jays for one. So that was all. A lot of this.
Well, I didn't realize he was drafted three times before signing.
Yeah, I was going to just start. I almost named Jerry White next because I was like, all right, this is a base coach. Like, I'm like, who?
Jerry White, yeah.
And I
Wayne Terwilliger? No, yeah. he was actually drafted in 1881.
July 6th of 86 in Atlanta. Braves first baseman Bob Horner, four home runs in an 11-8 loss to the Expos in which Al Newman hit his only home run.
That's amazing. By the way, if you haven't already, please click the like button and the subscribe button on the Score North Twin Show YouTube channel, which we just launched about a month ago. Appreciate you guys sticking with this team and us during this atrocious start. 9-4. 9-4.
Blame Declan.
Over the next 13 games.
Me.
All right.
Blame Declan
Don't
Goff.
Blame me.
He wasn't on the beat
Don't
last year.
I'm going to a
fun.
Friday night game for a team that can't hit, okay? That, I'm sure I'm
your
committed.
Fiance is thrilled about
I'm
that.
Committed.
Take her to Red Cow.